Just, I realise a lot of people do have Father's Day events on, so I won't be too long for the message today. But I do want to start off with just a few dad jokes, if that's okay. Just a few quick ones, yeah. So after my research on Facebook this week, these are the best dad jokes I could... Oh, sorry, I see that. Oh, what do we need? Oh, we've got gifts for the fathers today. We've got to give away chocolates to all the fathers. So everyone who's a dad, stand to your feet. All the dads in the place, stand to your feet, and we've got a chocolate for you here today. Let's give them a big hand. Thank you, dads. Bless you guys. Wonderful. Grab your chockies there. Enjoy those. And make sure you leave some for me because I'm up the front here. Okay, yeah. Okay, well, while we're handing those out, some great dad jokes. What's the definition of a pawpaw? A dog dog's foot. Not that good. Okay, all right. When someone asks, where would we be without kids? The answer is probably Hawaii. Well, what do you call a 6-foot gorilla with a machine gun? Sir. What do you give a 6-foot gorilla with a machine gun? Anything he wants. Why do cows wear bells around their necks? Because their horns don't work. And don't you love it when the kids ask, what's on TV? And dad says, a pot plant and a DVD player. Yeah, so that's a few of my favourite dad jokes there. But I do want to share today a little bit about, firstly, a few exciting things coming up. I really want to make sure, you know, we're part of this National Day of Prayer and Fasting, and I've really had a word on my heart recently that we need to honour the fathers in the faith in Australia. And I'm really blessed to announce in the first Sunday in November, we've got a great father in the faith coming to speak at New Hope Brisbane, Pastor Clark Taylor. Isn't that exciting, hey? Now, Clark is well known as a great father of the faith in Australia and has got an incredible anointing on his life. And I know Cecil and I have been talking a little bit recently about how it could really, you know, be a real move of revival having him in our church. And so I'm really excited about that. Also coming up shortly, we've got Pastor Bruce Lindley, another great father in the faith. In December, then we've got John Mellor coming as well. So we've got a whole bunch of great fathers in our nation coming over the next few months. I'm looking forward to that. And of course, Brad and I are heading off to Japan from October 5th to 15th. And I'm really excited about heading over there, preaching at New Hope Tokyo and New Hope Yokohama, and visiting Pastor Pete Malins, one of our missionaries who's over there, and also another family who used to be a part of our church who live in Japan now. So very excited about that. So is there such thing as a perfect father? There is. There's only one perfect father as far as I'm concerned, and that's our Heavenly Father in heaven. Every other father, we have our faults. Like, I'm pretty close, I think, to a perfect father, but I think the gap widens a lot in different people's opinions. Like, if you ask my wife or my children at times, it's probably... I think there's days where I think, oh, yeah, I'm doing pretty good, but then there's days where I think, you know what, I am the worst father on the planet, you know? We go through our ups and downs as fathers, but, you know, we need to get a revelation of who our perfect father is in heaven so that we can have a relationship with him. And that's a little bit about what my heart is today for this message. And Jack Frost wrote a book called Experiencing Father's Embrace, which I know many of you have heard of me share about this book. I read it a few years ago and it absolutely revolutionized my life when it came to understanding who our Father in heaven was and who our Father in heaven is. And Jack talks about now, there's different kinds of fathers. So Jack's testimony is basically, I know it's a strange name, Jack Frost. Everyone thinks of the Christmas character, but he's certainly not a snowman. But Jack was basically raised by an authoritarian father. So years ago, he wrote this book called Experiencing Father's Embrace and basically shared his testimony where Jack said he could never live up to his father's expectations. His older brother was a great tennis player and he was an average tennis player. His older brother was intelligent, and he was average intelligence. His older brother, you know, and he could never match up to his older brother. His older brother in his father's eyes was awesome, and he was never good enough for his dad. And so he had this burden that he carried in life where he never thought he was good enough. And he ended up trying to fill that emptiness in his heart with drugs and sex and rock and roll and the party lifestyle. He ended up becoming a ship's captain on the open seas, fishing, and he was so depressed, and none of those drugs, none of those that alcohol, none of that stuff filled that void in his heart. And he said one day he was on the open seas and he was just at the end of his rope, basically, and And then the song came on the radio from the Doobie Brothers. Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. And he thought, you know what? I've never really tried Jesus. I'm going to give him a go. So he got down on his knees in the middle of the ocean and prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart to be his Lord and Savior. And he said, from that moment on, his life started to turn around. He was able to turn from all his addictions and sins and struggles. And he started to live a life that honored God. And his wife noticed the change in him. And he started to study the Bible and get into church. And he ended up doing Bible college and becoming a pastor. But he said, even then, as a pastor, he felt he could never measure up to what God the Father wanted for him. He was never good enough as a pastor. His youth group was never big enough. His church was never big enough. He could never prove to God that he was good enough. And he realized he had a misrepresentation of who our perfect Heavenly Father is. And at a conference at Toronto in, I think it was 1994, it might have been, he was on his face before God, weeping for several hours when he got the revelation that God just loved him. He didn't have to prove himself to God. You know, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. God just loves you. He is a perfect Father who loves you with an unconditional love. You know, many religions in the world, there's all these rules and ladders you've got to climb and certain religious things you've got to do to please the God of that religion. And he realized that our Father just loves us because he loves us, because he loves us, because he loves us. And he said when he got that revelation, he bawled like a baby. And automatically, it was like he had divine heart surgery and everything changed. He loved his wife so much more. He loved his kids. He had a couple of kids that were very distant and he couldn't really relate to them. All of a sudden, he wanted to spend time with them and play with them and help them with the homework and take them on daddy-daughter dates and daddy-son dates and care for them. And he developed a relationship with his wife and kids more than ever before. And he started this ministry called Shiloh Ministries, bringing the love of the Father wherever he traveled around the world. And it certainly revolutionized my life when I read that book. I can highly recommend it, Experiencing Father's Embrace by Jack Frost. But in the opening chapters, he talks about how there's six different types of fathers. And for me, this was a really practical explanation of fathers that helped me understand a bit about the difference between our earthly fathers and our heavenly father. He said that there are some fathers that are good fathers. They're good. They provide for their family. They look after you. They spend time with you, and they're good. They're not perfect, but they're good. He said, with every earthly father relationship we have, it taints our view of our Heavenly Father. So the lens with which we look to our Heavenly Father is tainted by the way that we look at our earthly fathers. He said, so that, for example, the problem is if you've got a good father on earth, which many of us have had good fathers, sometimes your father in heaven will never measure up to your father on earth. And you'll misrepresent God the Father, who is a perfect father, because you're thinking, oh, I've got a good father and God's not really as good as him, you know. And then another type of father is there are performance-oriented fathers. There are passive fathers. There are absentee fathers. There is authoritarian fathers. And then there are abusive fathers. Out of these six different type of fathers, the way that we relate to them will often taint the way we relate to our Heavenly Father until we receive the healing. And at the end of this service today, I'm going to pray a special Father's blessing over each one of you in the church. I believe it's one of the most powerful prayers you can pray to receive healing from the father wounds we've all got. So say, for example, the good father, yet you misrepresent the Father in heaven. If you have a performance-oriented father, now I know my grandpa's like that. Just this week, I actually sent him a book by Billy Graham called Nearing Home, because my grandpa's certainly getting on in years. And I know that he and my nan saw Billy Graham in the 50s in Australia and made a commitment to Christ. So I'm really hoping that it's going to impact them. But my grandpa is like a performance-oriented father. All he cares about is how much money I'm earning, how much I've paid off on my house, what my kids are doing at school, what awards they've got. Some of you know who the kind of fathers I'm talking about. Have you got a second job? Has your wife got a job? Are you climbing the corporate ladder? That's his world view. That's how he relates to me. And he'll ask me those questions every single time I speak to him on the phone. So I'll just give him my answers and then get on to something more important. But many of us have had performance-oriented fathers. And we can often think God is like that with us. That was Jack Frost's problem. He believed that God wanted him to do all these great things so that he would get the Father's love. It doesn't work that way. The Father just loves you regardless. He just loves you because he loves you. Some people have a passive father. And I love my dad. I rang him this morning and sang Happy Father's Day to you. Happy Father's Day to you. We rang and wished him Happy Father's Day this morning. And he's a great, great guy. He's always had a good job. He's always told me plenty of great jokes. We always have fun playing Scrabble together and, you know, kicking the footy around, all sorts of stuff. But I would class him in this category as a passive father. He just never had that much to do with me when I was a kid. My mum was really active in raising me, and she's an awesome woman of God and very strong, and a part of my spiritual heritage comes from her. But Dad was just kind of, you know, every now and then he'd check in and see how I'm doing, but wasn't really hands-on and close. And for me, when I read this book by Jack Frost, I realized that's how I've been viewing my Heavenly Father. I was thinking that my Father in Heaven was a passive father, that he didn't actually want to have that much to do with me, that he was never really involved with me, and maybe every now and then I'll answer a prayer and dish out a blessing occasionally, and passive. And then I realized that's not what God the Father's like at all. God wants to be intimately, passionately walking with me every day of my life. He wants to have a relationship with me. He wants to give me wisdom. He wants to bless my wife and my kids and my family. He wants me to pray, and he wants to speak to me all through the day, 24/7, 365. Have you had a passive father? Is that the way you've been looking at our Father in Heaven? Another kind of father is the absentee father. You look at the divorce rate, you look at the rate of fatherlessness in our nation, the percentages are some of you here will have had an absentee father where he just wasn't around. You never saw him at all. The statistics for that in Australia are quite alarming. And I'm not saying there's no hope. I'm not saying you'll never know the love of the Father, but if you've had that. Many people think because they've got no father at all that God isn't there for them at all. Let me tell you, that's a lie from the enemy. God the Father loves you. He is there for you. He promised you he'd never leave you or forsake you. Some have had an authoritarian father, a father that lays down the law and is rigid and strict and harsh and judging. And if you don't do this, there's consequences all the time. There's trouble, trouble, trouble. Some of us think that God the Father is just like that. He's always just wanting to judge and point, and we can never measure up to him. And then there's the abusive father. And the statistics, sadly, are 1 in 3 women have been abused, 1 in 7 men have been abused. I'm not sure if those statistics have changed recently, but many children have been abused by either their father or a relative in their families. And some of us think that God is an abusive God. Let me tell you, that's a misrepresentation of our Father in Heaven. God is a perfect Father. Frost makes a good point in the book when he states, the leftover pain and wounds from childhood can create a lens with which adults later view the world and God. I've heard the words, forgiveness is for you, more times than I can count. But it's so true. When we can forgive our earthly father, it's actually bringing healing to our hearts. When we forgive others, it's like we're setting them free from the pain that we're carrying in our hearts from our earthly fathers. And I want to give you an opportunity today to forgive your earthly father if they've done wrong by you in any way. Because I believe that's part of the gospel message. Jesus said, forgive others as I have forgiven you. Such an important part of the gospel message. If you want to walk in total freedom and peace, you have to learn to forgive your father for his shortcomings. Chances are he didn't know the best he knew. Chances are he did the best he knew how to do. He didn't have a perfect father either. Do you want forgiveness extended to you when you fall short? Then you have to extend forgiveness to your father as well. Regardless of what your circumstances are, there is hope, and there is a perfect father who loves you. He loves you unconditionally, and he will never hurt you. The Bible describes him as God the Father. That hope we find is in getting to know God the Father. He is Jehovah Jireh. One of the Hebrew names for God is our provider. He wants to provide blessings for us. We need to know that God is a perfect Father. And he wants you to call him Father as you pray. Speak to him and say, Father, thank you. Father, forgive me. Father, lead me. Father, guide me. The Bible says that he predestined us to become his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in Ephesians 1 verse 5. That means if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are God's child and he is your Father. When you need him, cry out to him, Abba Father, Daddy Father. He will hear you, and like a perfect father, he will answer you. Experience his perfect love and embrace today. It's more powerful than any issue you've had with your imperfect earthly dad, and it's exactly what you need. The last quote I'll share from Jack Foss before we get into the Word of God is this. He says, some people's relationship with God, you might see this on your screen, some people's relationship with God is devoid of passion and joy. Discipline, form and duty keep things safe. But relationships are meant to be full of emotion. It's easy to have an intellectual or mental grasp of the gospel, but we need to let the Father touch our heart so we can truly taste of his love. We can know God from afar, but it's much better to know him up close and personal. It's like with my kids. If I come home from work and see my kids and say, hello kids, how are you today? Good, did you have a good day? Good, wonderful, bye-bye, you know. And spoke to them like a robot, like it was just full of discipline and void of passion and joy. Do you think my kids would want to relate to me much? But if I pick them up and love them and tickle them and play with them and ask them how their day was and be excited and tell them stories and play races with them in the backyard, and do you think they want to relate to their father? You see, our Father is a Father who is full of emotion, full of joy, full of love for us. And he wants to pick us up and play with us and love us the same as an earthly father wants to play with his children. So where did it all start? Where did this problem come in humanity where we couldn't connect with the Father? It started with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Let's have a look at Genesis 3, verse 1 to 10. This is the chapter that's known as the fall of man. You know, the Bible says that God would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. God loved to walk with Adam. He loved his creation. He loved Eve. He loved them. And this is what happened. The serpent came along. And you know, the devil, the serpent, he comes along every day trying to break our communion with the Father, trying to ruin our relationship, trying to help us, trying to deceive us so that we misunderstand who the Father is. This is what the serpent does. The serpent comes and he's more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God has made. He said to the woman, you might see this on your screen. No, you haven't got the verse? Okay. He said, did God really say, you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees in the garden, but did God say, you must not eat of the fruit that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die? And the serpent said, you will surely not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to them and said, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. The fall of man. God created Adam and Eve to be in relationship with him. He loved them. He wanted to be with them. He said, you can do anything in this place. I've given you everything. Just this one tree. Just don't touch that one tree. Just don't eat the fruit of that. And the devil comes in and he lies and he deceives and he tricks them. He tricks the woman first. And Adam said, yeah, it was her fault. Men are still blaming their wives to this day. But after that, they thought, oh, God doesn't want me anymore. God doesn't love me. God doesn't want a relationship with me. They realized they were naked and they went, oh, we've got to cover ourselves up. And they sewed fig leaves together. And to this day, we're still sewing fig leaves together. When we sin, we think God doesn't want us anymore. God hates us. God wants to cast us out. God... We still think every time we sin that God is going to do that to us. But you know, one drop of Jesus' blood is enough to wash away all of our sin. His grace is enough for us. Doesn't mean we go on sinning. Doesn't mean we live a life in rebellion and rejecting God. It just means that when we do sin, God loves us. And we sow these fig leaves together, and I've got an acronym here. My first point is, don't live behind the fig leaf. The fig leaf, I've got an acronym, F-I-G-L-E-A-F. Fig leaf stands for fear. I is for insecurity. G is for guilt. L is for loneliness. E is for escapism. A is for anxiety. F is for failure. We still have these fig leaves that we put on whenever we do something wrong and we think God isn't going to want a relationship with me anymore. I want to suggest to you that God wants a relationship with you 100% of the time. He does not change his mind. He loves you. He wants you. He desires you. He sent his only son to die on the cross for you. In Lamentations 3:22, it says this, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." We need to understand that God our Father has loving kindness that never ceases. His compassions never fail. Even when we sin and we have all those fig leaves of fear and insecurity. You know, I don't know about you, but I go through many times in my life when I'm full of fear. Many times in my life when I'm full of insecurity. Many times when I feel like I'm guilty and I've messed up and I've done it now, I can't go back to God now. The devil comes in and tries to deceive me and say, "Oh, you might as well just give it all up. You're not going to make it as a pastor. You might as well give it up now. You're not going to make it as a husband. You might as well give up now. You're a hopeless dad. You might as well give up now." He comes in and he tries to deceive me the same way he tried to deceive Adam and Eve. And I make fig leaves for myself and I go, "Oh yeah, I'm full of insecurity, guilt, loneliness. I'm going to escape into something. I'm full of anxiety. I'm a failure." That's the way that the devil wants you to think about yourself. But what does God say? God says, "My loving kindness towards you will never cease. My compassion for you never fails. Every new morning, my faithfulness is great towards you." Don't listen to the lies of the enemy about yourself. Listen to what God says about you, and he loves you with a perfect love. You know, this week I went to the dentist, and I had this thing in between my teeth, and oh, it's just throbbing and aching a little. Oh, it was just painful. And, you know, they give me the needles in there, you know, those big needles. You know, I know Eden's training to be a dentist here. I don't know what you're thinking about, brother, but, you know, you'll be a great one, I'm sure, you know. But he gets this needle and he sticks it in there, and then he starts drilling, you know, that, you know, the noise. Oh, it's terrible. And then it hurt. And he goes, "Oh, I'll give you another couple of needles." So he sticks another two more needles. And all I'm doing there is going, "Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Lord, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me." I'm not actually saying this because I can't speak because they're, you know, sticking things in my mouth. But I'm meditating on the verses. I'm saying, "Lord, thank you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And I'm visually picturing the Lord being my shepherd and looking after me. It's amazing. It ended up being half an hour of drilling and prodding and whatever. And it went like that because it was like I went to that secret place. It was like I just went to that place where I quoted the word of God. I just started thinking about the Lord. And then all of a sudden the time was over. And I said, "You know, thank you, Lord, because you know how much I hate dentists and I have pain and all that stuff." It's like the Lord was there with me. And I know it's just a silly little example of, you know, me being a big wuss, big girly man who doesn't like dentists. But what I'm saying is that God loves us so much. And we can go to him no matter what drill is in our mouth, no matter what needles we have in our life. We can call to him and it's like we go to that secret place. And you know, a lot of people think Christianity is you've got to go to church and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. Just like you go to McDonald's, it doesn't make you a hamburger if you go to McDonald's, does it? Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Christianity is a relationship with God. He wants to relate with us no matter what we're going through in life. And that's why it's so important that we know the Word of God and we can speak the Word of God, and he'll come and he'll give us peace in the midst of our storms in the dentist's office. Jesus said this. If you want to know who the Father is, this is what Jesus said in John 14:6. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, You do know him and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. Jesus said, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So you want to know what the Father in heaven is like? Look at the life of Jesus, the perfect representation of the Father. How can you say, show us this Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Jesus said, believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Does that sound like a loving Father to you? I'm serious. If you have a look at that verse, you read through it, you meditate on it. You want to know what the Father is like? Look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. Any sickness. No sickness is too great for God to heal. You look at the poor and the lepers and the rejected people of society. Jesus loved them and cared for them. Jesus showed the ultimate perfect love of our perfect Father in heaven. So point number two, and I'll wrap up shortly, is this. God wants a relationship with you, and he is a perfect Father. He is a perfect Father. I rattled off before those six types of fathers. We can get tainted in our view of God when we look at our earthly father and we can think, oh, God the Father's like that. Because we think of the word Father and go, oh, yeah, I know that Father, so maybe God the Father's like that. God is a perfect Father, and he wants a relationship with you. He wants to be your lover. We sang that song before, romance me, O lover of my soul. He deeply wants a relationship with you. The next verse in Matthew 5 says this, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? And then here's a verse that has baffled me for years. Jesus says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. How on earth can we be perfect? We're sinners. We're full of sin. We wear these fig leaves. Fear, insecurity, guilt, loneliness, escapism, insecurity, failure. There are so many things in our life that fall short of God's standard. How can we truly be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect? And as I meditated on this verse and as I prayed about it, I just thought more and more about how when we ask Jesus into our hearts to be our Lord and Savior, the Bible says the old is gone, the new has come. We no longer are labeled as sinners. We are saints. We are saints who sin. Of course, we sin. We'll always do some kind of sin in our life. But, you know, Christ died for all of our sins from the past, all of the sins we're committing now, and all the sins we will commit in the future. How can we be perfect? In Christ Jesus, we are made perfect. In Christ Jesus, we have, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. There's no way that we can comprehend it. But through God's Holy Spirit, we can live a life that glorifies the Father. I've got a quote here from Terry Somerville, and he said this. He said, the last great revival will be a love revival. In this revival, the compassion of the Father will indwell believers to such an extent that they will feel and act as Jesus does toward unbelievers. Of course, there will also be biblical truth preached, mighty repentance, Holy Spirit power and miracles. But the major characteristic of the last revival will be the sheer immensity of the Father's love flowing through his people. They will be motivated by compassion and be as Christ is to the world, truly loving even the worst sinner. God's love is the great need of modern man. It melts every barrier and the devil has no weapon to defeat it. When Christians are filled with love, it will release a torrent of pure miracles and salvation. I think of the words of the song we sang before. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one may bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice calling out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there. Until it was accomplished, his dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in any gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. What should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Isn't that just the best news? His wounds have paid my ransom. I might just ask the worship team to come if they could. And I'm going to pray a special prayer today that I really believe is going to change a lot of things in people's lives today. It's called the Father's Blessing. Now, it's a special blessing that I'm going to pray over every one of you today. And the focus is this. Many of us have received wounds from our Father. Many of us have had things that have been done wrong to us, and our human fathers have been imperfect. But I want to pray a prayer of blessing from our perfect Heavenly Father. From the moment of conception through the formative years of childhood, the love and care of our mother and father play a critical role in our development. Unfortunately, in our fallen humanity, there are no perfect parents. Subsequently, many people carry wounds or voids that they incurred early in life from one or both parents, such as unmet needs, absence, neglect, harsh words, or abusive behavior. Nevertheless, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord, can go back and fill in any of those wounds with his perfect love. In an atmosphere of prayer, it is often quite powerful to have prayer ministers stand in the place of earthly parents to offer a loving hug and any words of affirmation the Lord would like to speak to this person. This prayer can be prayed over an individual or a group in the context of a mother and a father blessing. These prayers are intended to serve as an example, and we always suggest that anyone leading these prayers be sensitive to the direction of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes as I pray this prayer now. Maybe you want to put out your hands, just get ready to receive a blessing. Father, I pray that as I read this out, everyone in this place will receive a revelation for you about the Father's love. Holy Spirit, come and work in people's hearts. You know, a father's role is to protect, provide, bless, and establish his children's identity. Maybe your father did that for you, or maybe he didn't. Perhaps he abandoned you or abused you sexually, physically, verbally, or emotionally. Maybe he died before you were ready, or he left you for some other person, for some other reason. Maybe he made you his pet, delighting you so much that you haven't been able to break away to be your own person. Perhaps he was distant, removed, and showed no interest in you. Or he terrified you with his anger and rage. Perhaps he made you the scapegoat for all his troubles, so that you suffered for things other people did to him. Perhaps he blamed you for things that were not your fault at all. Maybe he worked too much or played too hard or never spent time with you, missed your ball games, your dance recitals, or your spelling bees. Maybe he spent too much time with you, forcing you to become an athlete or a student or a doctor or a lawyer you never wanted to be. Perhaps he left you in the care of hurtful, dangerous people. Maybe he didn't see you or believe you when you went to him for help. Perhaps he was just too preoccupied with himself to see anything you wanted or needed them. I really don't know. If you're willing to hear these words of a broken father speaking to you, please close your eyes and receive this Father's blessing. Now, I realize I am not your father, but please allow me to stand in for him. And in the place of your father who may or may not have said these things, please allow yourself to hear these words. I ask your Heavenly Father to richly bless you in all the places I failed to bless you. I ask the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of his cross and blood, to set you free now from any harsh or cruel words that I said, especially the ones you keep remembering over and over. I'm sorry. I ask the Lord to set you free from heart injuries you sustained from me or from others in whose care I placed you. I ask the Holy Spirit to set you free from heartache, disappointments, dreads, grief, or rage you cannot resolve. And I'm so sorry for any other struggles I may have caused you. May you be healed from being ignored by me or overindulged by me. If I ever made you feel less than or not good enough, I'm deeply sorry and ask you to please forgive me. May the Lord set you free from working so hard to please me when nothing ever would. May the Lord set you free from trying to get from me what I never had to give you. I'm so sorry. May the Lord set you free from blaming me for failing you. Not because I need that, but so you can be free to grow, to receive and to achieve, to be creative in ways you have not yet imagined. May the Lord give you all the things I was unable or unwilling to give you. Yes. May the Lord guide you in ways I never could and grant you peace. I pray in the name of Jesus, the Lord will set you free from any addictions, anxieties or anger. May the Lord free you from the feeling that you have to always be perfect or that you have to be what I expect you to be. I pray that God will help you to see that the hurt and pain I cause you came from my own childhood. It limited me, and I'm sorry if it's limited you. I pray that God will remove from you any belief that you are not wanted or loved. I pray that you have no doubt that you are the gender that you're supposed to be. I pray that the Lord will release you from any unhealthy bond that you have with me. I want you to keep all the good that came from me and give the garbage to God. And in closing, I'm going to pray this sentence, and I just want you to receive this. My beloved son, my precious daughter, I love you. I am so proud of you. I am so glad you were born. Take flight, my love. Soar in the heights of God's destiny for you. Fly free in Jesus' name and live. Father, we reach out our hands to you right now and we receive that blessing. Just say that. Just say, I receive that blessing. And I reach out my hands as a pastor, as a shepherd of this flock. And I just seal that prayer now with the Holy Spirit's power. I pray that those here today that have had that father wound exposed as I've shared this message today, I thank you, Lord, that your love washes over each person right now and healing comes. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you're here today and you want to say, God, I'm sorry that I haven't given my heart to you. I'm sorry that I haven't come home to you. I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. He died on that cross for me. And I want to start afresh today as a Christian, born again. I want to turn from my wicked ways and give my life to you today. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you want to say, yes, I give my life to Jesus today, just slip up your hand and say, yes, Jesus, I give my heart to you today. Is there anyone here that wants to slip up their hand and say, yes, God, I want a fresh start with you today? Okay, the second thing I want to ask, if you feel today that you have received healing from the wounds your earthly father has given you, and you want to acknowledge that between God and say thank you for that healing, slip up your hand right now and say thank you, Father, for that healing. Yeah, that's good. Hands up all over the place. That's good. Why don't we stand to our feet and let's worship him now.